Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. That is how you get aboard on this Tuesday night. A lot to get to. We'll do a Trust the Pregame later on. We'll have a Clearwater check-in on the Phils as we're just about a little over 2 weeks away until opening day. But we got to start with, you know what, hearing from someone today that we haven't heard from in a long time and that really made me kind of reminisce. Look, we'll keep you up to date on any Eagles news we get. It seems like they're under the cap now after the Marquise Goodwin move to revert him back to the Niners, whatever the heck that means. But it seems like Howie's doing work, and the Eagles will be under the cap before tomorrow. If any big news happens tonight on the Eagles, we will bring it to you immediately. But I want to talk about something that I saw this morning. So John Clark, our buddy from NBC Sports 10, and you know, you see him all over the place, airports, and he's on TV, and he's doing interviews with people. He's everywhere. John Clark is everywhere. And he has a new podcast now. And his first guest today on his podcast was Doug Peterson, the former Eagles head coach. And from my understanding, it's the first time Doug has spoken at length since being fired by the Eagles. You know, he's given a couple quotes and people have kind of heard from him, but he has been out of the spotlight, as you'd imagine Doug Peterson or any coach would be after getting fired from a job like this. So Doug Peterson is out of the spotlight and he goes on John Clark's podcast. And I got to tell you, it's a good listen. Go check it out, because I heard it and I was like, you know what? That's pretty good. I mean, just listening to Doug and hearing him, it was about a half hour. It was him and his son, you know, was on with Angela a couple months ago and is an NFL draft prospect. The podcast itself is, I just want to make sure I have it, it's called Takeoff with John Clark. So you can find it there. So I'm listening today and Doug is on there, right? And they're talking. And you know what my first thought was when I was listening? My first thought was, you know what? I wish Doug Peterson was still the Eagles coach. And I remember doing a show, and we talked about this right before the Eagles hired Nick Sirianni. And I said, you know what? If the Eagles had the guts to do it, they should call Doug back and try to offer him the job. Obviously, we know that's not happening now. I mean, it was not going to happen the night I said it, but at least it was plausible because the Eagles did not have a head coach at that point. They have one now. His name is Nick Sirianni. I'm going to give him a chance. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, and I think he could end up being a good head coach in the NFL. So obviously, Doug's not coming back. That ship has sailed long ago. But I do believe, and I'm going to play something for you here, you know, just Doug, just kind of his closure on the whole thing, is it really – it got me thinking about Doug's tenure here and what it was and how unceremoniously it ended after one bad season for Doug Peterson to be out. And here is my big takeaway after listening to Doug today and after thinking about the Philadelphia Eagles and where their franchise is right now after Bird's Town Hall yesterday, all the discussion we had about the Eagles and, you know, the state of the franchise and all of this. I believe the Philadelphia Eagles are going to regret firing Doug Peterson. And let me tell you why. It's not because Doug Peterson was Bill Walsh, right? We're not talking about a genius, X's and O's genius, but Doug Peterson was a good offensive coach. He was a coach players played very hard for and loved right to the end. And Doug Peterson, maybe more than any of it, had the emotional intelligence that Jeff Lurie talked about all those years ago. And you know what? When I think back now to when Jeff Lurie talked about emotional intelligence, and I have a totally different thought on what he meant by that or what I think he meant by that compared to what we thought he meant by that. Remember that whole emotional intelligence thing? I think the way I perceived it then, 5 years ago, was, oh, that's for the locker room. That's Doug and the players. I don't really think that's what it was. The emotional intelligence Doug Peterson showed right up to the end was the ability to deal with crap from the front office, deal with Howie Roseman's crap, who wants to set the lineup and the players and the final roster, and deal with crap from the owner, from Jeff Lurie, from a meddling owner who, according to the Jeff McClain story last week, was upset after the Eagles ran the ball too much against the Green Bay Packers a couple years ago in one of their best wins of the season. Remember that game, that Thursday night game, where they ran at special teams defense at the end and beat the Packers? Quite a good Packers team that ended up in the NFC title game. And Jeff Lurie was upset after the game because they didn't throw the ball enough. You know what the emotional intelligence of Doug Peterson was right up to the end? His ability to smile and nod at Jeff and Howie. And here is why I believe the Eagles are going to regret firing Doug Peterson. It's not because I don't think Nick Sirianni has a chance to be a good coach. I do. I think he does have a chance. It's not because I don't think Nick Sirianni can draw up an offense or scheme or do any of those things. I believe he's got a shot to do that. It's not because I don't believe Sirianni can get through to the players. I think he can. But one thing that Doug Peterson had that I don't know if any other coach they're going to find has is the emotional intelligence to deal with them. After all these stories that have come out the last few months and weeks, do you realize how difficult it's going to be for any coach to succeed here under the way they want to do business? It's going to take an egoless coach who has very little regard for personnel, who has very little regard for his self, and will just kind of do whatever the franchise wants them to do. And Doug went along with it for a long time, including putting his neck out there for his coaches, and they dumped his coaches anyway. This was not an easy franchise to navigate the last 5 years, and Doug Peterson did it to the point where they made the playoffs three times. They won four playoff games, all as underdogs, and they won a championship. And the odds of Nick Sirianni doing that, you know, replicating that or even coming close, I would put it 2%, 1%. Like, what are the odds Nick Sirianni tops Doug Peterson in his first 5 years compared to Doug's last five? I'd say the odds are so, so slim. 215-592-9494. I believe when it's all said and done, the Eagles will regret firing Doug Peterson. Not because they got rid of someone that is irreplaceable in terms of his mind or irreplaceable because of his offense. I believe they got rid of someone who, until the end, until they pushed his button so far that he couldn't take it anymore, just kind of went along and kept harmony in a front office and a franchise that obviously is not harmonious, that has a lot of issues from the owner to the GM, to where there's lack of communication, to where the people stepping on each other, to where there's power struggles. You know what you never heard? You never really heard about Doug in a power struggle. It's not easy to run a franchise the way the Eagles want to run their franchise. You need the right people. You need the right kind of personalities. You need the right coach that will take it and accept it and still be able to get the respect from the players. Like, Doug had a very unique personality. He's an ex-player that the players respected, and yet the front office still tried to push him around, and he took it most of the time. And yet the product on Sundays for three straight years, at the end of the day, we really didn't realize how dysfunctional things were because Doug somehow made it work, and they still won a bunch of games. They still made the playoffs. They still were contenders, including a championship. 215-592-9494. Doug Peterson spoke to. We're going to bring a piece of it right now to you here. But I believe the Eagles are going to ultimately regret firing Doug. Do you? Do you agree with that? 215-592-9494. Do you think the Eagles are going to regret firing Doug Peterson? And yeah, and we can kind of group in our feelings on Sirianni in this too. Right? It's not like the Eagles went out there and got Sean McVay 2.0. I mean, again, I think Sirianni could be a good coach. And I'm not burying him because of a couple bad press conferences. But I don't believe they got the next great NFL head coach. If they did, I'd have a different feeling. I'd be like, all right, well, they upgraded. I don't think Nick Sirianni's an upgrade at head coach over Doug Peterson. And I think it's going to be very hard for Nick Sirianni to come in here and deal with Howie and deal with Jeff and, you know, be like, all right, I got it, guys. No worries. That's going to be a give and take. It's not going to be easy for Sirianni to pull this off the way Doug did. 215-592-9494. All right, let's play a piece of this for you. This is from The Takeoff with John Clark, NBC Sports Philadelphia, talking to Doug today about the end of his tenure and kind of, you know, Doug's feeling on the entire episode, how it went down.
You know, I would love to have had an opportunity to really kind of fix, you know, the season last year and get things back on track and really, you know, turn that thing around, because I feel like that's something that I could have done. But, you know, and I understand where he's coming from and obviously the situation, you know, moving forward. And again, I just continue to focus on those positives and think about my time there and think about, you know, if this were the time and obviously this was the time for me to leave. Well, guess what? I'm going out on a high note. I'm going out on top. I'm going out, you know, as a Super Bowl winning coach in Philadelphia. Hopefully I can, I'll be welcomed back in the city one day and come back, and whether I'm coaching on the other sideline or just coming back to visit, I look forward to those moments.
Well, a couple things there. One, I'm not quite sure Doug knows what going out on a high note means. 4-11-1 is not exactly a high note.
He went out on top, Joe.
But he does leave here with a ring on his finger, and he's the only coach to ever bring a Lombardi here. So that's true. And just to answer his question that he was wondering, will he be cheered here? Will Doug be welcomed back one day? Yes, Doug Peterson will absolutely be welcomed back. There's no question about that. Whatever capacity he comes back in, he will be welcomed back. But I wish he was never fired. 215-592-9494. I believe the Eagles are going to regret firing Doug Peterson. Ultimately, at the end of the day, the odds of Nick Sirianni becoming a better coach than Doug are very slim. And the odds of Sirianni, even if he's a good coach, and I think he could be, dealing with Howie and Jeff in the same way that Doug Peterson was able to, I mean, that's the hardest part of this for me to believe. It's very difficult for me to believe they're going to be able to get through this. Let's just pretend the next 5 years. I don't know how many games they're going to win or how quickly they'll bounce back. I don't think they're going to be bad for very long. But the idea they're going to be able to pull this off seamlessly, and it's not going to be a power struggle. It's not going to be Sirianni upset that Howie's setting the roster at some point. It's not going to be Sirianni upset they just won a game and the owner's, moaning about run-pass ratio like he's on Sports Talk Radio. I mean, that part of the McLean article was mind-boggling that Jeff Lurie cared about their run-pass ratio in a single game that they won against the Packers on the road on a Thursday night. This is the stuff that a new coach has to deal with. And you know who dealt with it? Doug. And until this year, we didn't really know about any of it. He kept it in-house. I would say until the Eagles fired Mike Groh when Doug obviously wanted to keep him. Until then, did we ever really hear about any sort of issues between Doug and the front office? We didn't. He just buried everything. Family, business, no airing of the dirty laundry. We didn't know about it. And they just kept competing and they just kept winning games. And that's the part of this, the emotional intelligence Doug had. Plus, I thought he was a good coach. Plus, the players loved him. All that together, I don't think Sirianni could match it or come close. And I'll put it this way. I believe, ultimately, the Eagles will regret firing Doug Peterson. Do you? 215-592-9494. Do you think the Eagles will one day regret firing Doug Peterson? Brian is in Middletown. What's up, Brian?
Hey, what's up, my brother? How are you?
Brian, how we doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. Yeah, I felt like it was time for me to kind of chime in on this situation. Look, I normally agree with you, but like all of this idea of making the Doug this sympathetic coach, I'm not buying it, man. And the reality is, in addition to what you're saying is true, I mean, the emotional intelligence, this team is also regressing every single year since they won the Super Bowl. I mean, yes, they made it to the playoffs, but every single year it was sort of losing one round less. And then obviously this season you finished, 3-11-1. In a season when you have a Super Bowl winning coach and an elite quarterback, you're supposed to win that division. I mean, that to me was one of the biggest indictments against Doug and Carson Wentz, that they couldn't win this weak division with all the other teams having the problems that they had. And then lastly, and I'll hang up and sort of get your call on this, but the idea that Doug Peterson was going to elevate Chris Taylor, offensive coordinator, and bring Corey Unlin as defensive coordinator, I mean, that's an insult. I mean, Corey Unlin was a mediocre defensive backs coach at best, and he had one season with the Detroit Lions, which was absolute, that was a nonsense there. And the idea you're going to reward him as your defensive coordinator, that was bad. And I can understand, Jeffrey Lawrence and Howie Rose saying, no, you're not bringing those guys in as position, as your coordinator. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. It's almost as if, Doug was joining it to try to spite someone.
Well, I think, Brian, I think he was. I think he was. Because all the years they changed his staff on him, I think he almost went into that meeting. It's just my guess. I think he went into the meeting trying to get fired. Like, I think what we heard about that coaching staff thing was him basically saying, just fire me.
Well, yeah, and you're right. And so what does that say then? Because you're coaching 53 men, grown men out there, who, they're doing this for a living. You got to put the very best coordinators out there. I mean, just sort of throw names out there just for the hell of it. So to me, and you may be right, Maybe he did go in there trying to get fired. Well, if that's the case, then the interview that he gave earlier today about him trying to turn it around, how the hell are you going to turn it around and you're going to put Press Taylor as your offensive coordinator?
Well, and Brian, listen, I hear you, and that part I was not on board with. Brian, I appreciate the phone call. But I blame the Eagles for letting it get there. You know how it got to that point? Because they kept changing his staff on him his entire time. Like, it was for spite. I mean, I do think that. I think he went in there that last meeting with Jeff Fleury and basically gave him a list of coaches that he'd bring here or have here this year. Out of spite, like, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm done with you changing my staff around and telling me what to do. I don't know what the Eagles' 2020 staff would have looked like if Doug Peterson wasn't told who had to be on a staff or who couldn't be on a staff, but I could tell you what, it would not have looked like it did. With Rick Scangarello coming from the Niners and Marty Morningweg, I mean, that was a disaster from the beginning. They fired Doug. I mean, the root of the problem that we found out ended up, you know, being a firing here this past year. But the root of the problem with Doug and Lurie, it seemed like, stated it back a year ago. Remember when Doug got at the podium after the 2019 season and not only said Mike Rowe would be back, he waxed poetic about him. He praised him for how good of a job he did in helping that team recover from a 5-7 start to have good offensive play the last 4 weeks to go 9-7 and make the playoffs. He praised Mike Rowe. The next day, Mike Rowe was fired. And I think right there is where everything kind of started to spiral on the 2020 Eagles. The coaching staff, and you know, we know what became of the season, and then the firing of Doug. But I don't think any of that stuff happens. I don't think he puts together this ridiculously bad staff in the meeting with Lurie after the season if his coaching staff wasn't, you know, either told to him or taken away from him, whatever you want to say, after the 2019 season. So I blame the Eagles on that. I blame Lurie on that. 215-592-9494. Do you believe the Eagles will eventually regret firing Doug Peterson? And I just look at this from the perspective of what are the odds the next thing really works out? And I don't know what's going to happen with Doug next. You know, he alluded to the idea he wants to coach again. And, you know, he seems like he's obviously taking a year off here from coaching and just collecting checks from the Eagles. And good for him. I don't know where he ends up, what he does, if he has another job soon, if he waits a little while, if he, you know, if he becomes more of a Brian Billick, where it's like, man, I wonder when he's going to coach again. I don't know. I don't know what Doug Peterson's future is, but I know this. The Eagles' future right now is Nick Sirianni. He's their head coach. He's the guy they're putting in here. And I think about all the boxes Doug checked as basically an unknown. And Sirianni fits that same bill. We knew Doug because Doug Peterson was an Eagle, right? He was under Andy. Like we knew the name. We knew who he was. He was a quarterback for a brief period of 99. We knew Doug Peterson. We don't know much about Nick Sirianni, but as coaches, they're very similar. It's a short rise. It's a quick rise. It's kind of an out-of-nowhere hire. Nobody else really wanted those guys. And the Eagles somehow, some way, struck gold. Like, they were able to have a over 500 record, make the playoffs 3 times, win a Super Bowl, win 4 playoff games as underdogs. Like, you think about it, the Eagles were not favored in one single playoff game the last 5 years. Of the 3 years they made the playoffs with Doug, they weren't favored in one of those playoff games. 0 of the 6 games they played in were they the favorites. So they weren't supposed to win any of them. And they ended up winning 4, including a championship. And I think about Nick Sirianni and what he's walking into right now, which is a rebuild, a young roster, a retooling, whatever you want to call it. He's walking into an uncertain position at quarterback. He's walking into a front office that has a whole bunch of question marks, including a guy that is drafted really poorly for years and years now, and an owner that, quite frankly, and there's no other way to say it, is a meddler. So it's not an easy situation for a coach to handle, even if he's a good coach. And I think Nick Sirianni has a chance to be a good coach and might be a really good coach. But how many good coaches could get swallowed up by this Eagles mess right now? A lot. Actually, I would think most young coaches would come in here and get swallowed up. Doug didn't. Doug was able to overcome it. And I almost think his personality, which is really kind of simple, and I don't mean that in a derogatory way, but he's kind of a simple guy. I think that helped him. And maybe Sirianni has that, but maybe he doesn't. And maybe in 3 years, like, man, he got swallowed up by this nonsense of a tough media market, of a demanding owner that is upset about run-pass ratio, like he's some sort of fan, and a GM that just has not given him the tools to work with. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop in here on this Tuesday night. Do you believe the Eagles will ultimately regret firing Doug Peterson? He spoke to today, John Clark, and I just was hearing it. I'm like, you know what? They will. Tucker, what do you think? Will they regret firing Doug?
No.
How come?
I mean, maybe we will as a fan base, but will the Eagles? No. Because I think Howie Roseman and Jeff Lurie aren't necessarily aware of how great a job Doug Peterson did. Right, like, the Eagles organization believes that they are a well-oiled machine.
Yep.
Right? There's a lack of self-awareness in that front office. There's a lack of self-awareness in Jeffrey Lurie's office to the point where I truly believe that those two guys in charge, I mean, we've talked about before how they're an issue. We talked about them last week about how you know, Jeff Lurie and Howie Roseman, which one's pulling the strings. But in my mind, when I look at it, are they going to regret it? Like, is Howie Roseman going to sit back 8 months from now saying, you know what, things were a lot better when Doug was here? No, because I don't think they give Doug Peterson any credit for what he did. And I think a lot of people probably feel the same way, right? Like, how often in the last 18 months we get calls saying, you know what, Doug Peterson was never a good coach. Nick Foles is the one who called the Philly special, right? Frank Reich is the one who designed that offense. Doug Peterson was just along for the ride, never mind the fact that he had decent offenses each of the next 2 years despite declining quarterback play. I mean, I'm not really going to stick my neck out for a 4-11-1 coach, right? A coach that wins four games. Great coaches don't do that. But I don't think the Eagles care. I really don't. I believe that Howie Roseman and Jeff Lurie believe that the head coach is replaceable. I believe that they think Nick Sirianni is going to have just as much success as Doug Peterson because they're the ones pulling the strings.
Yeah, they think it's more like baseball where the manager is the middleman.
They think as long as Nick Sirianni says yes, they're going to be okay. As long as Howie Roseman says do X, Y, and Z, and Nick Sirianni says yes, sir, and moves on, it doesn't matter. And that's worrisome. Like, that's a big issue right
yes.
now.
Yes, and guess what? What are the odds that the next coach, and now we know it's Nick Sirianni, is going to always be as amicable as Doug was? It's not. Like, human nature, head coaches have egos. I mean, there's only 32 of those guys in the world. They all have egos. They all think it's their team, their franchise. And I know it's changed, right? There's only so many John Grudens out there that have power, and Pete Carrolls and Bill Belichick's. And Sirianni, it's his first job. He's probably going to be, yes, sir, the first couple months and maybe a year, maybe years. But over 5 years, is he going to be as amicable as Doug was until the end? I doubt it. 215-592-9494. Do you believe the Eagles will eventually regret firing Doug Peterson? I do. Not because Doug's Bill Walsh, but because it's going to be very difficult for this franchise, the way they set things up around here, to have less turbulence, and there was very little of it that we found out about, than they had with Doug. Doug just kind of went along for the ride, did what they wanted, still got the players to believe in him, and coached them up in big games. That's going to be hard to replicate. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. We'll come back. Your phone calls, and we'll let you hear from Doug Peterson on his relationship with Carson Wentz. Was it as bad as everyone made it out to be at the end? You'll hear that next on Sports Radio 94 WIP. I feel like I'm back in 1997 watching Raw. Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley's behind the glass. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. That is how you join the show here on this Tuesday nights. We're talking Doug Peterson. He spoke to John Clark today of NBC Sports 10 and about his firing. We're going to bring to you what he said about Carson Wentz and their relationship in a minute. But I believe the Eagles will regret firing Doug. At some point, they're going to wake up one day and say, man, you know what? We had something good here. A good head coach, one the players bought into, respected. We won big games with him. Won big games we weren't even supposed to win with him. And we got rid of him because he pushed back at some point. And they're going to bring in Sirianni now, and I think he's got a chance to be a good coach. But at some point, you know, at some point, the rubber will meet the road again, and the next coach will push back. And if the Eagles just keep firing good coaches when they push back, it's going to be very hard to ever have big-time success here. I believe the Eagles are going to wake up one day and regret firing Doug. Do you? 215-592-9494. And you heard that. If you weren't aware what that was, well, shame on you. Tucker played us back with Stone Cold Steve Austin's music. So today is 3/16. It's March 16th. That's the date. But that, of course, Austin 3/16. So here's what our side's going to be. Our side topic's going to be tonight. Who is your favorite wrestler of all time? Let's talk some old school wrestling or new school, though I don't watch anymore. I think Tucker does. I'm not quite sure. I think Tucker's a new school current wrestling fan. I know who Jody Mack is. Jody Mack, who I believe will be on tonight at 10. Jody's still a big wrestling guy.
Yeah, usually when I connect with him at like 9 o'clock, he updates me on what's going on with Monday Night Raw.
All right, so we have different waves of wrestling fans that are on the air tonight. So I used to be one. I would say from sixth grade until the end of college, I didn't miss a big event for wrestling, and I don't think I've watched one since. So I'm out of the loop on what's going on. But we'll throw this in the mix as our little side topic along with Doug and the Eagles and any big news we get tonight on the Birds. My favorite wrestler of all time, Bret the Hitman Hart. That was my guy when I probably first started watching, early, mid-90s, and then he kind of lasted a little bit longer into the when it exploded with the WCW era and you know everything with Raw in the late 90s. So Bret Hart was my guy. Tucker, your favorite wrestler of all time?
It has to be The Rock.
Which version of The Rock?
Which version of The Rock?
Yeah, like I mean, like there's different versions. Like Rock, there was the People's Champion Rock. There was the Corporate Champion Rock. There's now this super duper famous Rock.
No, I like the Babyface Rock.
Babyface Rock, okay.
Like when he came up with the Nation of Domination through all that, yeah.
Oh, I mean, that now we're going back to the day. So you go The Rock, I go Bret Hart. 215-592-9494. I mean, The Rock was great, right? You think about the last 25, 30 years of pro wrestling, that you can't think of what it became and what it was without The Rock's, you know, just, I mean, he carried that company for a time. I mean, he became as big as anybody post-Hogan. Like, The Rock really was, and it's crazy how big he is now. I believe there's a sitcom on television tonight.
It's called Young Rock.
And I believe one of the writers on that show is
Spike Eskin?
No, his partner on the Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast.
What does Spike Eskin do besides host this podcast? His partner's out here writing sitcoms. What does Spike do the other 23 hours of the day?
I think he does something with a radio station somewhere.
I don't see him.
Well, he's not here now. It's nighttime. Anyway, so Tucker goes The Rock. I will go with Bret the Hitman Hart. 215-592-9494. And by the way, I'm a big reader. I like to read books. I know some people don't. Do people still read books? Am I an old man doing that? Do people read books anymore, or am I the old guy?
I mean, I bought that book about the guy living at the vet. I haven't touched it yet.
So you buy books, but you don't read them?
Yeah, like I get busy, and I start doing other things.
Yeah, I love reading books, mostly sports books, but I just love reading books. I usually read, you know, I don't know, a few every couple months or so. I read books a bunch. Anyway, so if you're a reader and you're a wrestling fan, Bret the Hitman Hart's book is a great book. Now, I would say it's a commitment. The book is like, and I know people can't see me, but it's thick. Like, it looks like a book you would get when you're in a high school class. Like, it's a significant book. You're like, oh, I can't read all that. But I got it, and I was like, man, I'm just pouring through this thing. Bret Hart's book was great. 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phone lines here. I believe the Eagles will one day regret firing Doug Peterson. And give us your favorite wrestler of all time when you call in on this 316 night. Mark in Northeast Philadelphia. Hey, Mark.
Hey, man. I just wanted to say, how the hell are you going to beat NWO?
Oh, it was the best.
Hollywood.
It was the Hollywood Hogan, Mark?
Oh, man. The second thing was even better. I was born in 81. And I was a Hulkamaniac. I'm still a Hulkamaniac. I dropped out. When that Stone Cold cut came in, I said, I'm calling WIP, and I'm going to let them know what's going on. And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
You know what? I think, Mark, at one point of our lives, we all wanted to be or were Stone Cold, right? We wanted to tell the boss to shut up. We wanted to drink a beer. Like, everyone, that's why everyone related to Stone Cold.
Every now and then, I would slam a beer just like that. I mean, I'm going to be 40 years old next month, God bless me. But, man, I still wouldn't mind slamming a beer back like Stone Cold right about now. Hopefully, when they get rid of these masks, I'll be out there cruising. You know what? Ric Flair was also the man, though. You kind of give credit where credit's due.
Oh, he was incredible. He was incredible for forever, too. Mark, what's your thought on the Eagles?
Oh, you know what? I wish they didn't get rid of Peterson, and really, I wish they didn't get rid of Wentz. I think Wentz is going to come back. Not to bite the Eagles in the rear end, but they're going to put it together. Change of scenery might do him good. I know I just switched gears on you, but yeah, Doug Peterson was a good coach. Bad quarterback, good backup, but... You know, I just think that locker room got divided, and I think race came into play, and I hate to throw it out there, just going to say it. I think that they were scared of what could have happened in that locker room and what was going down, and they nipped it in the bud.
I don't know if it's race, but I agree with the second part of what you said, that there's no way they could have had both quarterbacks here next year. Just, it was never going to work. Like, it would have been divided, and it would have ripped the team apart. No, there's no question about that.
I love everybody. I love Philadelphia. I love WIP. And that's it, man. God bless America. God bless you guys. Let's go Eagles. Let's go Phillies. Let's go Flyers. And let's go Sixers.
Love it, Mark. Have a good night, man. How about that? A little Stone Cold Steve Austin there. And Ric Flair was a character. Still is. I mean, Rick, did he get better health-wise? What was the deal with Rick a couple years ago? He was in bad shape, wasn't he?
He was, like, in a coma for a while.
But he's back up and running now? Or no? Have we not seen
him? Yeah, I mean, he was. I know he was on Raw as of like a month ago.
The thing about wrestlers, they never go away. Like, if they're old and they can't wrestle anymore, they will come back and just appear. Like, there's like, they never disappear.
I mean, there's something cool about that. I mean, like, it's kind of weird when, like, you're 60 years old and you can beat up someone in their 25 just because the paying audience remembers you from when they were a kid. But I don't know. That nostalgia is part of it, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Well, yeah, it's right. I mean, you become a fan favorite or a heel or whatever, and then you have that, and you can just go back to that well. 215-592-9494. Mark in Collegeville, the Sledgehammer. What's up, Mark?
Giglio, what's up, man?
How we doing, buddy?
I'm hanging in there. You know, I don't know about, you know, mainstream wrestling, but your favorite independent wrestler can be me.
Do you still wrestle, Mark, or do you used to?
I still do it. 14 years now.
So where do you wrestle? What circuit are you in? Where are you wrestling?
Well, where I wrestle is, you know, it's considered the independent circuit, you know, the indies. And I wrestle, you know, Pennsylvania, Jersey, Delaware, wherever I can get booked for a show.
So 14 years, I'm trying to think back. So when I was in high school and I guess some college, so we're going back now more than that, maybe 20 years, and I graduated college about 13 years ago. But I used to go with my buddies, Mark, to a lot of independent wrestling shows. So we probably didn't quite cross paths, but I would go to a lot of the shows that you do now.
Oh, when they start back up after this whole pandemic thing, I'll let you know, and I'll hook you up with some tickets.
You know what? We got to do that, and I will call my buddies. We haven't gone to a wrestling event in, like, I don't know, 15 years, and I'm going to say to them, I have tickets, and we're going to go see Mark the Sledgehammer from Collegeville. I'm excited. What do you think about the Eagles here?
Well, first off, you know, my favorite wrestler, just to get that off, of course, you got to go with The Undertaker. It doesn't get any better than that.
Old school, but classic, my favorite part of The Undertaker, quickly, is it didn't matter, other than the American Badass era, they were all great Undertakers. The whole American Badass thing was odd, though.
Yeah, it's like, you know, he's like the Madonna of wrestling, constantly
yes.
evolving.
Yes, that's true.
But on to the Eagles. I mean, I've said it to the midday guys, I've said it to the morning show. Doug got done so wrong. I mean, he's such a great guy, and I mean, yeah, he had a bad year. And, you know, things were starting to slip off after the Super Bowl. But overall, he was such a well-rounded coach. I mean, he really cared about his players. He didn't throw anybody under the bus. But yet, when he was wrong, he admitted that he was wrong. He never pulled punches. He never lied to us, you know. He tried to be as honest as he could with us. And if it wasn't for Lori and Howie, you know, he'd still be here. And, you know, we could still be enjoying Eagles football. They did him so wrong. It's not right.
Yeah, the amazing part, and Tucker was mentioning earlier that, you know, they probably never thought he was smart, never respected him. And the craziest thing is, it was like they were waiting for one bad year. I mean, it wasn't like they had three or four under 500 seasons. One bad year, and he's out of here.
Yeah, it's really weird, because it's like the same thing happened with Andy Reid. He had that slew of success. He had one bad year, he was gone. Chip Kelly, well, enough said about him, but, you know, he had a not-so-good year, he was gone. Now he had a bad year, he's gone. So Sirianni, watch out. One bad year, you're gone.
Mark, there's no question, man. I appreciate the phone call. There's no question. When Sirianni, and look, I hope he surprises all of us. I actually think his background suggests he's going to be a good coach, even though there's some red flags about press conferences and all that. I think he's going to be fine. But yeah, 3 or 4 years from now, if Sirianni has a bad year and the Eagles want to find the next coach, he's not going to stick around. I mean, they've shown their MO. They think coaches are very replaceable. It's almost like baseball with analytics and Moneyball. And I mean, think about what the managers become. I mean, we don't say this much here now because the Phillies have an accomplished manager now in Joe Girardi. But across baseball, other than, I don't know, maybe there's 5 or 10 guys like La Russa, who's back now at 77 years old, Joe Girardi, Joe Maddon. You know, there's a handful still of guys that have that cachet. Outside of them, what is every manager? They're just middleman, right? They're just there because they do what the front office says, and they're kind of that in-between guy that pushes the buttons, but they don't really matter that much. And that's what the Eagles think of football coaches. It's obvious, because that's why Doug got hired. That's why he got fired, and it's why Sirianni's here now. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard here. Let's talk to Dwight in Limerick. What's up, Dwight?
How are you, Joe?
Good, Dwight. What are you thinking here?
So I wanted your opinion for two things. Do you think Doug Peterson will get another head coaching job? And wherever he ends up, do you think that he'll have more power than he did at Philadelphia?
I do think, Dwight, he's going to coach again. Obviously not going to be this year because that's all done. But I think in the future he'll get a job. And as far as power, look, I don't think he's going to be like, you know, Belichick picking all the players and being the coach. I don't think it's going to be full power. But I do think that his voice will probably be heard more. And at the very least, Dwight, I think his next team will allow him to pick his own staff and not fire his coordinators on him because they're upset of the offense or whatever. I think he'll at least have that.
Yeah, he won't be micromanaged like he was at the Eagles.
Exactly.
Okay.
So what do you think? You think they're going to regret firing Doug?
Yeah, I think they do. I think they will. So I hope he goes to a division rival and just beats him every time they play him.
Well, that would be a shame. Dwight, and listen, man, I appreciate the phone call. I'm rooting for. I will root for Doug when he goes to his next stop. It would be a shame, and it make me not want to root for him if he ends up in the division. Now, just based on what's in the division right now, I don't think any of those guys, other than maybe Mike McCarthy in Dallas, are going to be out of a job anytime soon. Ron Rivera won the division, right? Even if they have a tough year this coming year, he's not getting fired. Joe Judge, it was only his first year. I thought he coached pretty well. He was a baby at the end of the season with the whole Eagles tanking thing. But I doubt Joe Judge gets fired after 2 years with the Giants. If there's one spot after the season, Tucker, it could be Mike McCarthy. Could you imagine if Jerry Jones hired Doug?
I mean, he fits the bill as a Super Bowl winning coach, right? Like when you think about the guys that Jerry Jones has pursued, that fits the bill. I wonder if Doug cares about being a head coach again, right? Like we talk about how he may want power. He didn't like Howie Roseman, Jeff Lurie telling him what to do. But when you think about everything and all his responsibilities, you know, the only thing I seem to really think he cared about.
Calling plays.
Like, he didn't care about going out and hiring coaches. That was very apparent. He didn't really care about personnel decisions. All he really wanted to do was call plays. So if Pete Carroll gave him a call, which he did this offseason, but if a defensive head coach gave him a call and said, hey, you want to come here and just run the offense? I'll give you full autonomy on that side of the ball. Just take it and run with it. I feel like he would love that. I feel like that's almost the perfect job for him. I think he's a great head coach. I think it's wild that a head coach with a Super Bowl on his resume would take that kind of job. But, I mean, Doug Peterson's a unique guy. Doug Peterson doesn't necessarily need coaching. Well, it seemed like something he just did because he liked it.
If you go to the link that John Clark tweeted out today with his podcast, which we were talking about earlier, I listened to today with Doug. If you just look at the photo on it, it's Doug Peterson. His son is in there because his son is part of the podcast, too. His son is a prospect in this coming NFL draft. He's a tight end. If you look at Doug, he looks like he de-aged. He got younger. I don't know, like 5 years, 10 years? When I saw the photo today, you know what I thought about? I thought about how being a coach in this city is like being a president. You know how presidents age in dog years? They go into office. It's like they leave office. Like, oh, my goodness.
Brett Brown aged like 30 years.
And look at Doug. I mean, if you look at Doug today, it's like, wait a second. He looks refreshed. Is it our fault? Do we do this? Am I to blame on this, Tucker? Are you to blame? Are we to blame? Well, what is it? Why is Philadelphia do this to coaches?
I think it's the weather. Yeah, it's cold here.
But wait a second. We all live here. We're not aging that rapidly. I think it's the pressure of the job. I think it's everything. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's do a little bit of a trust the pregame here, then we'll get back to all the phone calls on wrestlers and the Eagles. We got a Sixers game tonight, everybody. Sixers and the Knicks tonight out at the Wells Fargo Center. Sixers-Knicks tonight. The Knicks are actually not horrific. They play tough against Boston tonight. They have Julius Randle, who's kind of come out of nowhere.
Almost beat Brooklyn last night.
I know. That was that an overtime game or a close game?
No, it was close. They had the ball down three with about 8 seconds to go, and Randle traveled.
Okay, that's a highlight I saw. I wasn't sure if I was seeing an overtime highlight or was regular regulation. So they almost beat the Knicks last night on the Nets. That is actually a good thing for the Sixers. Sixers played on Sunday and basically got to rest their starters in the fourth quarter because they were just blowing the doors off of the Spurs. Meanwhile, the Knicks last night played, so this is a back-to-back for them, and they played a tough game that was high-scoring, back and forth. They lose an emotional loss. I think that's a really good thing for the Sixers tonight. The Knicks are coming off that kind of game. And how about this? I saw this today. I couldn't believe it. In his career, Ben Simmons has played 12 games against the Knicks. Tucker, try to guess what the Sixers' record in that series is with Ben. Ben against the Knicks.
I almost want to say 12-0.
12-0. They've never beat Ben Simmons.
Yeah, I mean, I said something to Sean Bell, I guess, on Friday night. If you go back to when the Sixers' ascent kind of started, it was against the Knicks on Christmas. Ben Simmons' first year with the Sixers, that was the year they went 15-0 to end the season.
Mm-hmm.
And the Knicks have kind of just been downtrodden ever since. Like, that game on Christmas was kind of billed as two teams on the ascent, and
right.
The Sixers rose, and then Kristaps Porzingis got hurt and kind of fell apart. But, yeah, I mean, the Knicks haven't been good in a long time.
You know what they are now, though? They're more competent. Like, the last couple years, whenever the Sixers played the Knicks, it felt like a joke, right? The Knicks were a joke of a team. They have Thibodeau as their coach now. Julius Randle has become, you know, much better with the Knicks than he was before he got there. And the kid that took number three last year, Barrett, out of Duke, he's had some games where he scored some points. I don't look at them as a complete pushover the way I have the last 3 or 4 years. There's some competence there now with Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah, I mean, they're 20-20. They're 500. But you look at what they did last night against the Nets. Julius Randle had 33. You mentioned R.J. Barrett. He had 23. I mean, their starting center last night was Nerlens Noel. So
we welcome back
Nerlens Noel against Tony Bradley.
Wow, a great center matchup. Look, every game without Joel Embiid is going to be a challenge. That's just the life for the Sixers right now. Now, they roast the challenge on Sunday night against the Spurs. What a weird game that was. I mean, they just blew the doors off the Spurs. That was like, what am I watching? It was non-competitive for a lot of that game. So that was a breeze. I don't imagine most of these games without Joel will be a breeze, but every win they can rack up, and we don't know how long Joel is going to be out. Let's be honest with ourselves. When the Sixers say 2 weeks, is it usually 2 weeks? Like, when they say 2 weeks and we'll reevaluate, like, you feel good because it wasn't a torn ACL. Like, Joel's not out for the season, but if I was setting an over-under, Tucker, over-under 2.5 weeks for Joel's return.
I would probably take the over.
Yeah, I would.
I would probably say 3 at the earliest.
Yeah, and bone bruises are tricky. Obviously, they are not significant where you need a knee reconstruction. You're not out for the season in the cast limping around, but bone bruises could be painful. The priority for the Sixers now has to be this. Just get him healthy. Just take whatever time is necessary, get Joel healthy, and hopefully they can win enough games over the next couple weeks without him that they don't tumble totally out of the spot for the one or the two. We'll see. I mean, the Nets are good. The Bucks have played better. But these are games they can win. They beat the Spurs without him on Sunday, and they can win this game. Again, the Knicks are coming off a very intense game last night against the Nets. High scoring, back and forth. Meanwhile, the Sixers played Sunday. It was, you know, they're coming off a day of rest. Meanwhile, the Knicks played last night. That's a big advantage. So Sixers and the Knicks tonight, we will talk about a little later on. 215-592-9494. Your favorite wrestler on this 316 night, Stone Cold Steve Austin Day. And are you with me? Do you believe the Eagles will one day regret firing Doug Peterson? I say yes. Let's talk to John, who's up on WIP. Hey, John. John, you with us, buddy? John, we'll put John on hold. You know what we're going to go to here? Let's go to Billy T in Princeton. What's up, Billy T?
Yo, Joe, how are you?
Billy
Good
T.
Show, as always.
How we doing, buddy?
Well, we're doing great. And hold on, I got to put on my seatbelt, for God's sake. Oh, my good God.
You got to be safe here, Billy. Be safe.
Look, I want to make a point about what you and Howard were talking about with Alex Smith and Nick Foles. That's exactly who we need as a backup. Because you want a veteran, somebody who knows his role, who can come in and play. And I personally like Nick. He got it done on a big stage more than once. And I think that would be great. As far as the coach, he went the course. He was done here because of all the things that were probably going on in the background that we didn't know about. But there is not one time this team in the last 3 or 4 years came out of the gate, and they were slow, and they weren't prepared. I don't think he did a good job coaching the X's and O's this past year. What he did with the Super Bowl, that's 3 years ago. It's like, you know, it's like a baseball player. What'd you hit last year? How many runs did you drive in? You know, how many homers did you knock out of the park?
Well, it has not been as good since the Super Bowl. We know that. But there were two playoff years in between there, Billy. It wasn't like they fell off.
I'm not saying he's a bad coach. I just think he ran his course here. You know, and I think there was a lot of interference that we as fans did not know about.
Well, that's true. And Billy, it's interesting you said he ran his course, because I don't know if you heard Theo Epstein, but when he left the Cubs a couple months ago, he said the same thing when he left Boston. Epstein thinks that executives, and it's out, you know, I don't know what the timetable is for coaches, but he thinks executives should leave jobs after 10 years. He thinks after 10 years it gets stale. The time has run its course. So for coaches, it's probably similar. I don't know what the timeline is. Maybe it's five, maybe it's six, but there's something to that.
That was the old John Madden saying,
right?
10 years and you're done. And I think he knew what he was talking about. But listen, I wanted to really touch real quick on the Phillies, if I could.
Yeah, what are you thinking?
Has Heasley in center field.
So would I, but he's hurt. But he's hurt.
I understand that. And I like the kid that looks like he's getting stronger now, Moniak. But I'm not against having Herrera start. He's an asset. If you want to trade him, let him then trade him, get him out of Philadelphia if it's going to be a problem. And I think that Scotty Jekpak was ill-served by the previous administrations because they had this funky idea that you got to swing up on a baseball.
Funky. I mean, Billy, it's happening around. But, you know, listen, and I hear you on Kingery. We got to stop making excuses for him. Either he can play or he can't.
I'm not making an excuse.
Yeah, but, like, the last administration's been gone for 2 years now. If he can't hit, he can't hit.
No, he can hit. He just needs the proper coaching. I'm telling you now.
Yeah, but Joe Dill, they've got a new coach for last year and this year.
Well, we're going to see what happens.
Well, so far it doesn't look good, Billy T. I appreciate it. We got to stop making excuses for Scott Kingery. I'm telling you, I was joking to Howard last hour. I said 2025, I'm going to get calls that Kingery can't hit because of Gabe Kapler and his hitting coach. Jeez, come on. He hasn't been here for two seasons. Either Kingery can hit or he can't. And the bottom line right now is this. Odubel's their best option in center as of this moment. And I know that's a very polarizing thing, and I totally understand if you don't want him as the center fielder on this team, and you have every right to feel that way. But right now, just based on what's happened in spring training, he's their best option. 215-592-9494, that's how you hop in. Do you believe the Eagles will regret firing Doug Peterson? I do. And when you call in, give us your favorite wrestler of all time. It is 316 today. Of course, Stone Cold Day, or at least we're calling it that. Your favorite wrestler of all time. I went with Bret Hart. Tucker went with The Rock. Who's yours? We'll talk about it on Sports Radio 94 WIP. And there's always one team that ruins your bracket. That's why this year I'm betting the tournament on FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sports. Because on FanDuel, your first bet is risk-free. It doesn't matter if you're betting on Gonzaga or Illinois. New users get up to $1,000 in site credit back if your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel has odds on all the action with games day and night, an easy-to-use app, multiple deposits and fast withdrawals, and always-on promotions. Your next chance to win with FanDuel is only minutes away. I love Gonzaga to finish off a great season this year and take it all the way for the first time in school history. And if that's not enough, FanDuel wants to make you a millionaire. Yes, you. They're giving away $1 million to one lucky bettor. New and existing users get an additional shot at the payout every day you bet the tourney. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of Radio.com and 94WIP. So if you want a shot at becoming a millionaire or even a thousandaire, download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Just use promo code GILIO so they know I say. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code GIGLIO.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.